Hi, and welcome back to another episode of SharePoint Conference Television, powered by Channel 9. We're still filming here from the conference floor in Las Vegas, and I'm excited to have Doug Heminger with me. We're going to get to find out a little bit about a really unique SharePoint user group that's happening out in the Chicago area. Doug, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hi, it's great. So first off, I wanted to know, you work for Protiviti. What do you do there?
We're a consulting company that specializes in SharePoint, and we're based out of Chicago and on the East Coast, and my area of expertise is the central region of Chicago, or central region of the U.S. So.
Oh, that's great. It's been cold there.
Yeah, it's been really cold.
You must be happy to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
I know how that feels. I just have to be out of the rain. I come from Seattle, so.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good thing. Well, I was really interested to hear what you're doing out there in Chicago. Tell me a little bit about the SharePoint Developers user group. How did that come about?
So, a couple years ago, I sort of identified a need. We have several SharePoint user groups in the Chicago area, but they cross a broad spectrum of topics, and we have enough developers in the Chicago area that there seemed to be sort of this need to meet on a regular basis, develop some networking, and really get to understand SharePoint development specifically, and provide those opportunities for people. So we started it a couple years ago with the idea that we would meet once a month and just really talk about SharePoint development.
That's amazing. Don't you feel like that's a very rapidly evolving space as well?
It is.
Is that driving some of the need to get together? Also?
Exactly. Yeah, it's evolving so quickly with the app model and the way development works in SharePoint and just how things are transforming over time from server side to client side based code. So one of the things we do on a regular basis is we just sort of revisit every new topic as it comes out. So like, we'll have a series on the app model. We'll have a series on client-side code. We'll have a series on the development infrastructure and how to set up your development environment with Azure and things like that. So
that's fascinating. You know, one of the things I think that is a challenge right now, I'm not on the development side, but just about the SharePoint space in general, is the amount of information and options that you have. Do you feel that in the development community? You know, how do you pick the best way to go from, you know, to the client object model? I mean, what do you...
Yeah. That's exactly right. There have been whole sessions on whether you should use the client object model, whether you should use server object model,
right.
And even for the client object model, whether you should use the client object model, REST APIs.
Right.
You know, there's all these different choices. And so we not only present just the choices, but we have conversations about, like, when does it make sense to use the REST API, or when does it make sense to use the client object model, things like that. So it's really, I think, been beneficial for the people in our group, and it's an important way to connect with the community and help understand those kinds of things, like the decision-making process around what development technology to use.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You know, that's such a, and it's ever evolving. And I know, you know, developers can get in almost religious wars about these kinds of discussions.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you find, I imagine it's a pretty collaborative group. Do you have a website that you share that information on after the fact? Or how do you like capture that mind share? Because to me, that's a really valuable conversation.
Yeah, so we've actually experimented with a couple different things. We used to record our sessions, but we actually just transitioned to an Office 365 website,
right.
And we're starting to set up some collaboration techniques for our user group members.
That's great.
Not only just sharing per presentations and things, but also having discussions around those online as a follow-up for people who couldn't make it or people who are interested in it after the fact. So
I think that virtual experience, it's not as rich, we know, as
as being there, right.
As being there, but at least you can get people's insights and share with them that knowledge.
Yeah,
because I think that's really what's valuable about that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Did you have any difficulty setting it up? Some folks I know can feel it's a little bit daunting to set up a SharePoint user group, and you're the co-founder of this organization.
Right, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that was for you?
So there are basically three things that are really important to setting up a user group. Finding a space and some kind of sponsorship for food and things like that. Getting speakers and the third thing is getting attendees. We had no problem with attendees. We had the demand. The people wanted it. And honestly, space came pretty easy to us, although we've transitioned a couple times to different locations. Mm. We are now have a dedicated space in downtown Chicago that we use for meeting and hosting these events. But really what we struggled with the most was getting speakers. Because it's such a niche topic, and we really wanted the quality of the content to be really rich and good for the people who attend the sessions, that we sort of struggled with getting speakers, but we've sort of overcome that by just using a lot of network connections, leveraging the Microsoft technical communities when it makes sense, and sending out a bunch of emails, basically.
Absolutely. So you are registered. Some of our viewers might not know, but if you have a SharePoint user group of any flavor, you can register at MicrosoftTechnicalCommunities.com.
Right. Yes.
And how's that experience been for you?
It has been great. You know, they have a couple of things that have really helped us out. One is they have a Yammer group where you can interact with other people and talk, other user group leaders, and talk with them and sort of learn from them on how to run the user group. The second thing is they provide some sponsorship for certain topics and event advertising, and we've used all those things. So it's been really good to be able to leverage that and sort of grow our base and grow our user group around some of that the support that the Microsoft technical communities provides.
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned a good point. How have you seen the group grow since you founded it and now?
Well, it's interesting. We started off with a very small kind of core group of people who were interested in the beginning.
Yeah.
They have stuck with us. And over time, that core group has grown a little bit larger and a little bit larger. And in every session, we get people who just kind of randomly come in and want to check it out and are interested in the particular topic. But we've grown from, originally we had like, I think at our first meeting we had 10 or so people, but now we average about 30 people a meeting. And we like I said, we have a core group who's always there, and then we always have a few other people who are kind of checking it out for the first time and just sort of interested in it.
That's good. And, you know, I ran the Los Angeles SharePoint user group for a long time. I was one of the founders out there. And one of the things that I really had challenges with was, again, making sure that consistent membership, you know, always shows up. You know, it can't be an army of one. You have to share.
Right.
But also over time, keeping that content fresh. And
it seems
like you wouldn't necessarily have that issue because it's the developers community and y'all seem to be able to talk about anything.
The
content is really,
I mean, it's evolving so quickly that there's really not a topic. Like, if anything, I feel like we're not keeping up by meeting once a month because there's just too much. It's growing too fast.
It is. It's rapidly growing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No. And now also, one of the things that I think people got a lot out of, and I've seen across the country, around the world, get out of user groups is the networking, right?
Yes.
Is being able to not only meet other people and learn from them, but also from a career development perspective. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had sort of mentorship relationships evolve over time from people within the user group, people who met at the user group, and then carry on and have conversations outside of the user group and sort of develop a mentor-mentee relationship. We also have a lot of just loose connections with people that we've met at user groups. Have a quick question. I know this person I met at the user group is an expert on it. I'm going to send them a quick email and just ask them what they think about it. You know, so there's those loose connections that sort of define the networking that happens within the user group. It happens outside the user group, but it's all this sort of, you know, there's not a rule or any boundaries per se, but people really have grown on these relationships, and it's really a cohesive but loose connection.
Yeah, it's working like a network, right?
Yeah,
didn't we hear that
exactly.
in the keynote? I think that's one of our themes or something. But it's true, because I think what's happening is the technology is following our human interactions in a more realistic way, and we're both informing each other, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
So I think that's really interesting. The other piece about that is, so you're registered at Technical Communities, and people can find out more information at chdevspug.com.
That's right.
And then how do you use social media to get the word out about your meetings, or what do you do?
Yeah, so we have a Twitter account, chdevspug is our handle, mm-hmm. Twitter handle. We also have a Facebook page, which has the same thing, facebook.com. And then, so, you know, we try to just be available where people like to get the information. So when we have meetings, we broadcast. I mean, we meet on a regular basis, the third Thursday of every month. So we have that consistency, but we also broadcast it out through all the social media outlets for people who want to find out about it their way. So whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or meetup.com or something. So.
Right, exactly. No, I think that makes sense. And, you know, I think that sometimes there's a little bit of a preconceived notion that developers aren't social, and that's never been my experience.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's really interesting that you're leveraging all of social media for developers.
Right.
You know, SPUG in that way. I just think it breaks down a lot of barriers, and it seems very inclusive. Do people feel that way?
We try to our doors are open to everyone, and we try to include everyone throughout the community. There are people that we miss, I'm sure.
Right.
But the way we get those people or let them know at least that the user group is available is basically by word of mouth. I mean, we have people who come to the user group and say, you know, the session was great. You guys should come next time to their coworkers who may not necessarily be on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. So that's how we try to get the people who may not be plugged into social media as much. But I find that a lot of the developers, at least in the Chicago area, are plugged into social media.
I think so. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's a combination. Social media is supposed to be additive.
Right.
It's not a rip and replace. You know, you're still going to have a conversation with someone at the water cooler.
Exactly.
But I'm also going to get information from Twitter. And I think you brought up a really great best practice for SharePoint user groups. You have a consistent meeting date and time.
Yes.
That really helps drive attendance.
Yep.
People know, oh, it's the third Thursday. I can just go over there.
Right.
Even if they didn't see your email announcement or weren't on the mailing list.
Right.
They know where to find you, right?
Yeah, that's great.
That's great. And so, you know, how do you, as a SPUG leader, as one of the co-founders, most folks in the community are so passionate about it, but it is an extracurricular activity. We don't get paid for this.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think people, I wonder sometimes if everybody knows that.
We
do all this for free, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, I had to explain to my husband why I was spending, you know, all this extra free time with these SharePoint people, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever get tired, or do you have somebody to hand things off to, or how is it for you personally to be a SPUG leader? What could another SPUG leader expect?
So I usually spend probably, you know, when I'm not, I have present, in the last 2 years, I've presented twice. Obviously, those are the exceptions. But normally for each meeting, I spend probably 3 to 4 hours of just general preparation throughout the month, sending out emails, coordinating the event times and things like that. It's honestly, once you get the user group founded and get all the social media set up and your connections are in place, that initial hard work goes a long way, because then each month it's just kind of sort of following up with your speaker, connecting with the event host, just or the space host, just to make sure you're on target for the space and everything like that.
Right.
So, you know, it's only a few hours every month if I'm not presenting. And I don't find it burdensome at all. I love it. I really love it. But we do, but to your point, we do have things to hand off to people. A lot of times there are people who share my passion and want to be involved. And so... even though I'm happy to do it myself, I love having people who have that sort of level of passion that they just want to be a part of the whole thing.
Right, exactly.
So we might have them speak if they have a topic that's relevant and appropriate. We might also have them coordinate some of the event logistics and be a greeter and things like that. So we have that at every event.
Yeah, bring the cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
Have to have cookies.
It's got to be some kind of attraction, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think it's important. No system should have a single point of failure. Right?
Yeah.
And so to share the load and share that responsibility once you have invested that time to get things set up.
Yeah.
You know, and you're a great example of the best practices of SharePoint user group management. You know, you have Facebook, Twitter, you have all your social media outlets, you have a consistent space, date and time.
Right.
You're registered on the Microsoft portal so that you can take advantage of those services.
Yep.
And you're reaching out through your local community. I mean, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that I've never, in my career, I've never been part of a technology community that's so active on so many fronts simultaneously, and so much fun.
It's a lot of fun.
So for new people, I try to encourage new people to reach out to the user groups in their area.
Yeah.
So what would a new person encounter at your group the first time they come? Somebody who's new to the SharePoint.
So typically, hopefully it's they'll know the topic. We broadcast and publish the topic, so they know what to expect in terms of what we're going to be talking about. But the logistically, we typically have a couple of people who are specifically tasked with like greeting and helping new people feel comfortable and just chatting with them and letting them know, oh, there'll be food at this time and here, and afterwards we might go out and just talk a little bit after the event.
Yeah.
And so we have specifically people who are tasked with that responsibility to greet and accept the new people and help them feel comfortable.
That's wonderful, because hospitality in a user group for the new people, it can be very intimidating to walk into a room like that.
Full of strangers that they don't know in a location that they're not used to and maybe have trouble finding the right exact spot.
Yeah.
So,
and just because, you know, we tend to forget about that. It's probably part of your job. It's a part of my job to go into rooms of people that I don't know.
Right.
You know, but not everybody is like that. And so you want to be open and inclusive and warm and welcoming. The people component is just as important as the technology in this.
Right.
Now, do you have sponsors from the local community, other companies that sponsor it for the food or anything?
So our sponsorship is kind of hit or miss. We are very low budget, low key. As long as we have a space, we're happy.
Yeah.
But Protivity does sponsor our space and food on a monthly basis. So.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
So that works out well. I know sometimes with user groups, it's a little bit hard to coordinate all that. And some user groups do it have a different sponsor each month.
Yes.
Which is tactically a little bit challenging, I understand. But for us, we've been really lucky to have one sponsor who just provides the food and the space, and we're good.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. The overhead. So, I mean, it is fair to say that in Los Angeles, we had that. They're a different sponsor every month. So it does add to your management overhead.
Right.
It adds a couple of hours a month to making sure the sponsor's organized, doing whatever. But then we moved to the Microsoft store for our space for a while. And so that really helped with the space issue, because it was really about that. So,
We may end up doing that at some point, honestly. We've had to, like I said, we've had to move space around a couple times, which logistically is a little bit hard for our users to, we're at a different place this month, and, the consistency is absolutely key. So we may eventually, try to find a Microsoft location or something that would be willing to support us. So.
And there's pros and cons to that. Sometimes, you might find a local university or another type of organization.
Exactly.
It's up to what makes your user group comfortable. That's the beautiful thing about user groups. You can tailor
it. We can adapt.
For your community, so that everybody in your group feels comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. I know lots of folks are doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
So, well, it's great. Well, I'm happy that you're here in Nevada instead of in Chicago right now. I bet you are, too.
Where it's about 10 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody deals with that.
Yeah.
I would just, crack apart. But thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
We're really excited to hear what's happening with the developer SharePoint user group.
Yeah,
I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'm glad that you're with us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Make sure that you take a look and join the conversation with Doug and his Chicago Developers User Group. If you're out in that area, check out chdevspug.org, and chdevspug is his Twitter handle. He'll be out there, and he'll help you find the family that he's creating in that community. Again, this is another segment of SharePoint Conference Television, powered by Channel 9. You can see highlights from today's coverage on your room on Channel 3, or go out to Channel 9. Make sure that you get involved and keep the conversation going. Thanks for joining us.